It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Well, radio audience for George Williams, I'm sorry to announce that this is Dr. Lou Camponosi. I've done this before for George. Glad to be able to do it tonight. And, you know, George always gives a great show, and I'm hoping to be able to do the same thing for his radio audience tonight. So what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to talk about two national issues, and then I'm going to bring in one of my old closest friends in Alabama, Ann Eubank, and I'm going to introduce her formally in just a few minutes. And then when we finish with our state issues there, we're going to go ahead and look at how we want to make sure that our educational system is going to do something that they have to do to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the founding of this country. Now, you would think that this would be easy to understand and everyone would do it. Sorry to give you the bad news, folks. The people who run the educational establishment in Alabama are still using DEI, still using CRT. They have not gotten away from it. And unless we take an active interest in this and make sure that they do the right thing about talking about and understanding the who, what, when, and where, and why that revolution took place and what the impact was, we're going to have more problems, as we always have with the State Education Association. So let me just get into my part of this monologue. And I want two issues I want to talk about. One is the political chaos associated with all these ICE arrests. Dig into that a little bit. And then I want to talk a little bit about Trump's foreign policy and what's happening with it and why it's important that he continues to do what he's doing with it. So let's first get into the political chaos of this. Why do you think all of these blue states are just absolutely going crazy about arresting the worst of the worst? Now, one could argue this is just Trump derangement syndrome. I get that. But I also think that there's something worse going on here. And that worse is going to lead to one of the things I'm going to suggest to you right now. How is it that Chicago, which if you look carefully, every weekend you see people killed, shot, I mean, 5, 10, 15, dead, 40, 30, shot, wounded? Well, guess what? I looked it up, and last weekend, 5 were killed, 23 were wounded. There is nothing unusual about this. This is the everyday occurrence. And yet, the mayor and the governor do not want to have the ICE folks in there going after the criminal illegals. Now, one could argue that that Trump should put a real task force in there to help Chicago police. But be that as it may, the fact of the matter is all this is going on and they don't want to support what Trump is trying to do. So the answer to the question of why are they just sitting, you know, on the sidelines, cheering on all of the people, inciting them to interfere with the ICE arrests, I think there's one simple answer. The fact is that Biden and the Democrats let between 10 and 13 million illegals into this country for one purpose only, and that's to give them citizenship so that they will vote Democratic. And guess what? End of all competing elections. It will be over. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves at this point is, how far are we going to allow these people to interfere? And one could ask the question, well, who's funding all of this? And that is a great question. Obviously, Soros and others like that who've always done that are going to continue to do things like this. But the real issue for us at this point is, will the Department of Justice start getting these people, you know, investigated and then prosecuted to stop all of this? Because if we don't, it's going to just fall right into the Democratic playbook, correct, just keep the chaos going, make things as bad as possible. And what that will mean in 2026, when they tie that to the affordable issue and all the chaos that's going on, oh my goodness, we have to get rid of these Republicans. The country's in danger. We've got to bring back the good old days of Biden. I mean, that is a BS approach in my view, but guess what? That's what they're doing. Second thing I want to talk about is Trump and foreign policy, okay? And I will make this point, and I've made it on my radio show. Oh, but since I'm talking about my radio show, for you all want to listen to, you know, the Conservative Watchdog News Review, Friday morning, 10:05, and we're on AM 1080 AM out of Fairhope. Okay, so if you have a chance to do that, I think it's worth listening, because we have shows like we do the same thing that on our Friday show as I'm doing tonight. So here, let's just transition to our foreign policy and just think about this in a section, okay? If you were going to look at what Trump is trying to do, yes, he is the peace president. I get that, and he should have gotten a Nobel Prize for it, and he still might. In January, I think they go through another round of it, so he could still get that. But the peace side of it isn't, in my view, the most important part. The most important part of it is getting back to protecting American interests overseas. So let's just take a couple of places that stand out in my mind. How about the fact that he took out the Iranian nuclear program? That kind of is in our interest, not to let the Iranians have a nuke. I mean, they chant death to America, death to Israel. So don't you think it means that if they get a nuke and can do it, use it, they will? We can't take that chance. He did what he had to do, and we have to keep doing it with our Israeli allies. Never let the Iranian defense forces have the capability of stopping air attacks. We have got to keep that capability as low as possible, which is what the Israelis did already this past year. The second thing is, how about getting China out of the Panama Canal? I mean, that was an important approach to making sure that commerce in this critical waterway is set to go. So I think that, you know, Phil just gave me a little warning here. And I'm used to being in the studio with Phil, and he just counts down for me. But I saw he just texted me a little warning, so I will wrap this up in just a minute. But the point about it is that it's American interest. That's what are critical here. And so whether it's taking out the Iranian nukes or getting China out of the Panama Canal or supporting Israel in our continuing, containing of the bad guys in the Middle East, particularly the Iranians. But in supporting the Israelis, we are helping ourselves to make sure that the Middle East doesn't just become such a flashpoint that you have a major war there. So I think that all in all, when you take a look at what's going on with Venezuela, why are we, you know, worrying about Venezuela? Can Maduro do anything to the United States? Well, guess what? They are a narco-terrorist country, okay? They're sending the kind of drugs that have killed over 100,000 Americans every year. Now, they're not the only ones that are doing this. And I think that Trump is making a progress with the Mexicans to deal with their side of what's happening. But as far as Maduro goes, it's not just the whole question of what's going on with drugs. It has to do with Latin American continuity and making sure that Latin America does not be taken over by the Chinese. That's where we're going with this. And so I'm hearing the music. I'm going to go ahead and fade out at this point. Phil, it's all yours.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Well, welcome back there, Radio Land. Obviously, this is not George Williams, but I am certainly glad to be here tonight. And I want to welcome one of my long-term friends and fellow activist, Ann Eubank. Ann lives up in Birmingham. She's been a longtime grassroots activist, president of Rainy Day Patriots, chair of the Legislative Watchdog Group, chair of the Alabama Conservative Coalition. Just the kind of person that is absolutely essential if we are going to get anything done in making sure that the conservative Christian approach to governance is in effect. Ann, thank you for coming on tonight. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you for having me. So I'm glad to be here. I heard you talking about Venezuela. What a lot of people don't understand is what's going on in America right now is what we call a color revolution, where outside forces are infiltrating America in various ways, in with, you know, different groups, the socialists, the communists, the Muslims. So we've kind of tracked back to Venezuela and China, the controlling of our vote machines, our voting machines, and not necessarily on an individual, say, in Alabama, wherever they are. It's more of a final product stored in Omaha, Nebraska for ES&S and other states for the other voting machines. So they've got their hands in trying to destroy our right to vote. So, yeah, it is incumbent upon us to stop those countries that are actively seeking and actively participating in destroying America.
Well, I think that, you know, the external influence is certainly something that we have to take note of. I mean, we've been we had the Cold War, you know, for many, many years. Then we had the War on Terror period. And now we're into a post-war Ontario period, which sees the rise of the axis of evil, whether it's China, Russia, you know, all of those folks, the Iranians. That seems to be, you know, where we're headed worldwide. But they do have an internal impact, and I think that you're right to point that out. And I mean, it's part of having 600,000 Chinese students in this country. It's part of having, you know, China buying up property next to our military installations. It's the Chinese and their attempts to have these Confucius schools. You know, That is a major problem. There's no question about it. But at the same time that we're dealing with that sort of an issue. We have our own internal problems with the far-left radicals who have taken over education. And that's what
Absolutely.
I really wanted to try to get you to talk about tonight in terms of what is going on with education in Alabama, and what are some of the specific things that you want to bring to the table, and then that we can let people know what's happening and what the conservative grassroots is trying to do to make things better, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
It's probably just stopping the worst things rather than making it better, because it's so hard to get anything done. But, you know, one can argue with a new governor that thinks the way we do, then it may be possible to see some light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree, and I know that Tuberville will be elected. I got to ask him a question at an event that I was at about, are you going to get rid of Common Core with all of its iterations and CRT, DEI, SEL? Because
right.
until we do that, and people out there, we don't have Common Core. Well, people, we have Common Core. The books still say Common Core. We, Linda, what's her name? McMahon was on TV today talking about what they're going to do with the federal dollars. The federal dollars is a problem because up until now, federal dollars came with rules and strings that you had to do CRT, DEI, and SEL. So hopefully that will be broken. Our teachers unions here in Alabama, of course, the AEA, have all of a sudden come out and decided that they're conservatives. Well, we all know that's a joke. Our own Republican Party wants to play footsie with them. You can't play footsie because the socialists, the communists have taken over the teachers unions, and Alabama's AEA is part of the NEA. So whatever the NEA tells the AEA to do, even though supposedly they're independent, what goes in our schools is obviously coming from the national. So what they've done is they've infiltrated the teachers' colleges. Last year, our board finally, which I'm not real sure how much has been accomplished, brought in higher ed and made them change their standards for the teachers that are being taught, the math and the English, the reading standards. And hopefully they'll quit teaching the teachers how to teach Common Core and indoctrinate, and instead teach them 2 + 2 = 4, not 5, or however you want to feel. So, our schools are a total failure. I have the numbers right here in front of me. They are a total failure.
Let me ask you this before you get into the numbers, okay? You've made a great point. Getting the teachers that they have got to be the first order of business. So have we had anyone who is looking into the education of our teachers?
Our state school board last year brought in the higher ed into this working group. Yeah.
Right.
And told them they have to change the standards. But how much follow-up, which is the same problem we have with CRT and DEI, they just renamed it. Nobody's following up on trying to get rid of it. Although I've noticed that some of the higher ed, the colleges are really having problems and being exposed, especially by 18-19 News, about some of this stuff, and it's now starting to turn around, which is a good thing. So we have to make sure that our own state school board is following up on making higher ed change the standards for teaching our teachers. So we know they did that, but that's about all they've done. They, of course, you know, they passed the math and the reading, which is the old days, which what we used to call, they'd go out with the reading teachers and the math teachers and did fantastic job. Well, it looks like they're bringing that back, but we have a really do-nothing state school board. They just rubber stamp whatever our superintendent tells them that that's what they're going to do.
Right.
We hear no conversation, none, coming out of the missing persons building. So that has to change. We have got to elect Emily Jones in Huntsville, and I know Alan Long is in there now, but he's outvoted. He doesn't say he's not bringing up issues that he should be, like getting rid of Common Core. The one who was elected that ran against me is a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
So we got to go there. We got to replace them.
There's no doubt that, you know, structural change makes a difference. And we have been, I mean, we tried so hard to get the Republican members of the State Board of Education to vote against Common Core. But, I mean, we only had, if I'm not mistaken, two that were willing to vote against it.
Right.
So,
the reason that is follow the money. I mean, we are talking mega money. And
well,
when the federal government...
I know that money is an issue, but I think that, you know, you and I met with Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth a couple of years ago, and if I'm not mistaken, the state is getting about 10% of its budget from the feds. And if we decided to go against Common Core, and this is, again, during the Democrat-run place, then there would be you may lose money, but our argument to Ainsworth was, so what? We'll deal with the money issue. Let's clean up the education. And I think that that's one of the things that is most frustrating about all this is that, you know, we just seem to be going around in a circle on all this stuff. And yes, it's better now, but with Tuberville, at least there's sort of hope there.
I hear music. I got music. Do you have that music,
yeah,
Luke?
Yes. I got my 1 minute signal, but we were talking. But we'll come back to this, and we'll pick up with your statistics about how bad this is, with a little bit of background about why Common Core has ruined, you know, Alabama education. Thanks, Ann.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Well, unfortunately, George is still not on the scene. It's me, Dr. Lou Campomanosi, and my good friend Ann Eubank. We've been involved with the discussion about Alabama education. This is something that we have been involved with, you know, trying to write the ship and to put it in the right direction since 2010, when then Republican Governor Riley incorporated Common Core into the Alabama curriculum. Please understand that when he did that in 2010, Alabama was in the middle 20s with the national assessments. And think about this. In just probably about a six-year period where the reading and math were completely turned over, you had the math and reading, you know, changes that brought about the success that we saw by 2010. I mean, that is incredible. And then listen to this one here, Radioland. I mean, you may not believe what we're saying, but sometimes statistics don't lie. By 2019, you all may not know this, but Alabama was rated 52nd in math and 48th in English language arts. Now, one can ask, how did that happen? Our simple answer is Common Core. And
that's
you
right.
Say, oh, wait, there was a money problem. And I'm going to tell you, they've had the most money over the last decade than they've ever had. Money is not the issue. It's Common Core to the hilt. And I know Ann and I have fought this. We wanted to make sure Radio Land knows what's happening with this. And Ann, why don't you pick that up? Because you've been in this fight too.
Our esteemed superintendent of the state school board, Tommy Bice, implemented not only Common Core, but social emotional learning, which removes fact-based classical education and puts in whatever you feel like, more social, more counseling, more, what they call it, social justice, CRT,
right.
DEI. They all came from SEL. And so, like Lou was telling you, the numbers before we got it were really, we were in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, and we've moved up some since COVID because, and they just, oh, they just tout, oh, we've moved X amount of percentage. Well, it's because our schools did not stay closed like some of the other schools in other states. So our kids were only a year behind, and other states, their students were two and a half years. And one state, actually, if I remember, it might have been Michigan or Minnesota, one or the other, was actually 3 years because they had to fight
exactly.
to get their schools back open. So let me tell you some numbers of what I pulled out. And this is for 2025, the year that just ended last May. We actually graduated, and this is all across the entire state, the system. Our graduation rate is 91.56. Now, you're going to say, oh, wow, that's great. We graduate 91% of our students. Well, we're graduating kids with an English language art proficiency, which means that's how much they know, of 56%. Now, a couple of years ago, they passed the two bills to put in math and language arts, special money to go in the schools and teach, kind of go back to the old way. And it came up from the mid-40s to 56. So, yeah, that one's working. So proficiency in math with those students we now have all across the state, 33% of our kids are proficient in math.
That's amazing.
33%. And science, 38% are proficient in math, yet we graduate 91% of students. So we've got a bunch of kids walking around, and that's why they're pushing so hard workforce and innovation, because most of these kids would not be able to go to college without remedial courses. In fact, I read an article the other day that said that used to we'd only have 1-7% of kids who went into college would have to take some type of remedial course. Now it's 24% that have to take. So let's look at grade 4 reading percentages for 2024, which is 2024-25 year. 42% of fourth graders are below basic reading. 30% are at basic reading. 21% are proficient in reading. And 7% are advanced in reading in fourth grade. So here we have a big problem when you go to the eighth grade. 41 below basic, 38 at basic, 19% proficient, and 2% advanced in reading. That's what our kids are doing. They don't know how to read. They can't do math. And they have no clue what science is. And we don't even talk about government, civics, social studies. They don't even want to let you know how bad social studies is. So the math numbers, and this will just below basic 24% at basic, and this is fourth grade, 40% proficient, 30%. And advanced 7, similar to the reading, which kind of shocks me. But by 8th grade, 50% are below basic, 31% are at basic, 15% are proficient in math in the 8th grade, and 3% are advanced. Now, the 8th grade is where you go into algebra, but in Common Core, you only get 2 years of advanced math because Common Core was part of the Innovate and Workforce plan by Obama, so that only those who were gifted would have the ability to, you would have to take advanced math on your own. It was not part of the standards if you were planning on going to college, because electricians, which I thought that was good, plumbers, welders, which is what they're pushing, car mechanics, which is what they're pushing now with this whole workforce, they don't need advanced math. And that's what the standards actually say. And that's where we are today. So,
well, let me just give you, for Radio Land, some statistics that we found out of Baldwin County last week when we were talking about this. The whole question that Ann has gone through, you know, takes you to the point where you have to say, what are they doing? Okay? And if you argue, as some do, that it's a money problem, well, Baldwin County is one of those counties that is not strapped for money. And yet, Foley High School, 22% proficiency in math. Foley Middle School, 22% proficient in math. Foley Elementary, 24%. None of those schools are on the failing list. And that's another issue that Ann and I have talked about, is that they do not want to recognize the academic failure. And I understand why, but the fact of the matter is this combination of the destruction of the academic side of the house linked to an incredible counseling program, which one of our good friends up in North Alabama, Mike Parsons, had looked at extensively. The American Association of Counselors has a program that Ann just went through here in terms of DEI, CRT, all of this kind of stuff, social and emotional learning. And the argument that we've made is this is detrimental to the overall, you know, education of our children. But they won't even let us see what they're talking about. In Baldwin County, we have had people who have kids in the system, and they will not allow them, the parents, to see what they're being taught.
Well, so, that's because we have a legislator who owns the program.
Yes, exactly.
They passed a bill.
Right.
Yes, they passed a bill in the legislature naming her program and her company as the one that they would use across the state. If that's not illegal, it should be.
Exactly. So, you know, for Radioland, this isn't just some abstract argument that we've had for all these years. The arguments that we have failed to make changes on are the ones that are producing the very problems that Ann just discussed. Where's the outrage for it? You know, there was some outrage during the pandemic because the kids were at home doing things on the internet, and suddenly parents started to see some of this stuff, and people got mad. But, you know, the reality is that the academic side of it, as important as it is, got swept away, and Ann, correct me if I'm wrong on this, got swept away about all the sexual material that the kids were dealing with, and parents just went off the charts with that because they didn't want all of this sexual business being put into the curriculum. And
right.
So whatever our arguments were about math and English just kind of got brushed aside while everybody rushed to stop and naturally wanted to stop and necessarily had to stop all of this. But now that I think that, and would you say that we're in a better position with the handling of the sexual exploitation, or is that still something that we can't get a handle on?
Well, we've passed several laws, and the school systems are not monitoring it. I've got a list of pre-filed bills, and one of them actually is for pre-K education discussions of gender identity prohibited, employees
mm-hmm.
prohibited from displaying flags or insignias relating to sexual orientation or gender identity, and from referring to students by pronouns inconsistent with students' biological sex. This bill did not pass last session, and it's coming back. So we're still fighting that battle. They give us just, you know, you've been there how many years? They give us just little pieces and bits.
Yeah.
Every year. It takes 5 and 6 years to actually get to the root of a problem and get it stopped. And then they don't monitor it. They don't. There's no penalty if they break the rule. So, yeah, we're still fighting it.
It's similar to the fight that we've had over the public library issue with sexual material. And we'll come back to this in just a few minutes. But thank you so much for that enlightening discussion, Ann. I appreciate it so much.
Anytime.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Okay, not quite George Williams, and I know that you'll be anxious to have George back next week, but I want to thank Ann for that really good discussion about what we've been fighting over the last 15 years with this Common Core. And I think that, you know, if you take anything away from this, take away the idea that you as an individual have got to get involved with this. You need to speak to your school board member. You need to go to the superintendent in Mobile or Baldwin County and talk to these people and find out for yourself what's going on. And I would argue that The only way to do that is to show up at the meetings, and that means you've got to check the time and place and do all those kinds of things. And, you know, this is a bad time, I know, because the holidays are here and everybody gets crunch time. But the sooner you get a chance to take a look at what's going on inside the classroom, the better off all of us are going to be. Now, Anne, I know that we've got a few more minutes before this is over, and I'd like to be able to kind of talk about what you see on the horizon if Tuberville is the governor in terms of how education is going to be impacted. Anne?
You kill me. I'm back.
You're back. Okay.
I'm back.
Technological problem. It happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, especially with me on. Yep. So, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Okay, so the question that I have is, we've painted a gloom and doom picture. So can we give Radioland any kind of, you know, hope that with Tuberville, we're going to find a governor who's willing to take all of this stuff on, and we'll have the kind of governor who's going to move education in the right direction?
Absolutely. I really think he will, because that's all he's heard on this campaign is, what are you going to do about Common Core? What are you going to do about Common Core? Everybody's been asking him. He said he was going to get rid of it. You and I actually have a copy of how Ron DeSantis got rid of it in Florida that we had given to Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, and we'll give it to Tuberville. I think hopefully he's got some people around him that he will listen to, and then he's got some that we don't want him listening to. But he assured me that he was going to get rid of this Common Core. But then we've got the federal side working as well. And so I think if we get rid of the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, send the money, the federal dollars, back down here in block grants. But money is not the problem. We have a $17 billion education budget, which is absolutely astronomical. And we're pitiful. We are pitiful with that kind of money. So where is it going? It's going into administration. There's more administrators in schools now than teachers. We're going to get the higher education people to quit teaching Common Core math and reading and go back to the old way. If we can implement classical education, which Tommy Tuberville has mentioned, then we'll see an improvement. But we cannot let our guard down. We cannot let the money people that are making all this money here in the state, the NGOs, get to him and tell him that, hey, we don't have Common Core. And, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just stupid people. And that's what we have to fight against.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole problem.
Hey, guys. Who's that? Who we got on?
This is K-Day. This is K-Day.
Kay called in.
How did you get
Thank you so much, Kay.
Because he put you on. He clicked me at the same time he picked you back up, Ann.
Okay.
That's what happened.
It's great to hear your voice, Kay.
Yeah, just... I'm driving to pick up my grandson in Auburn. He got car trouble, so I'm on my way to get him, and I flipped y'all on, and I said, gee, that's Ann and Lou.
Well, I'll
so it's
what,
wonderful Kay. To hear y'all and still fighting the fight. But you know what? I want to know how high your IQ has to be to understand Common Core.
How high was?
The standards or...
No, I'm just saying. I'm jesting, y'all. I'm just saying how stupid, or how are you too smart that you don't understand it?
Yes, about 85.
That must be it.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me that people are allowing. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
We can. And
yeah, it's crazy to me that people are still, and I'm going to tell you something. We're getting old, and parents, if I had a child in school right now, and I still, speak and fight it, but if I had a child in school right now, they would never get me off their back. So parents, they better wake up.
That they've had to wake up for 15 years, and let me just
I know, 15 years.
That
Tupper Bill better come through for us.
He better.
Because he's going to win.
I just encourage everyone to get involved. And the lady that's on the line right now is Kay Day, and she has been the president of the Common Sense Campaign in Mobile County since 2010. And Kay is a fighter. She's done so much to do the job that I'm asking everyone else to do right now. Kay, thank you so much for that. And
yeah, God bless you too.
Really
thank
appreciate
you,
your calling in tonight. And believe me, you've been on my mind to call, and I haven't had a chance to do it because I was getting ready for this. But tomorrow I'll definitely call. If you're going to be home, I'll call. Okay?
It's all good, Lou. It's all
thank
good,
you so
Lou.
Much for calling.
Love you both.
Okay. Okay.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye bye. Well, I mean that's Kay is the individual that we're trying to reach out to. Get out there and kick some butt with these superintendents and board members. I don't know. We've got a couple of minutes to go. And what are your final thoughts on this?
Well, I just think we need to get rid of some legislators who don't understand that they hold the key to getting rid of Common Core. And get rid of some of the state school board members who refuse to even bring it up for a vote because they keep telling everybody we don't have it, which is a lie. We do have it. And we just need to keep pressuring our politicians, our governor, our lieutenant governor. It doesn't matter who they are.
Right.
They have to understand that this is a globalist plan, Agenda 21, 30, 50, WEF, World Economic Forum. They have to dumb down America and have the color revolution take and the socialists and the communists take over the government and destroy the freedoms and that we have in order to have their globalist government. And Trump has set them back about 10 years, and that is the reason they've gone into hyperdrive, because they only have so many years to get it done, and
exactly.
He's messing with their timeline.
We represent
so don't
an existential threat to them, and Trump does too.
Exactly.
But
it is.
Everyone out there, please think carefully about what we've heard tonight and make that effort to go and get involved at every level that you can. Really appreciate being on here with everyone. If I don't get back before Christmas, have a great Christmas. We really appreciate your listening, and we'll talk to you soon. George will be back next week. Take care, and thank you.